I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove, from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
It's a little songwriter's lullaby. Now I see the days are passing by. I never looked into another eye. Just a mirror there hanging on the wall. I never even made a telephone call. And even though I'm getting older now, I finally realize my dreams, they're just dreams. Make them true, I've got to live them every day. I see everything through these eyes. I can't even find a good disguise. There's no disguise in me.
Ryan McCormick has been a singer-songwriter active in the Central Pennsylvania music scene since the mid-90s. Since 2000, he has released 4 albums. His latest is a live album recorded in April 2009 at the Capitol Theater in York, Pennsylvania. Ryan dropped by the Woodstove House in November 2010 to discuss the album project and how his career has changed over the years. Well, joining me in the Woodstove House is Ryan McCormick, a singer-songwriter from Central Pennsylvania. I might argue one of the hardest working singer-songwriters in Central Pennsylvania.
Maybe before my son was born.
Okay, over the years, anyway.
Yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
Been working this region, really, and I'd be interested to hear how far out you spread. But we're talking 14, 15 years of full-time musician lifestyle out of Central Pennsylvania. Where's the furthest you've traveled to play?
I just did New England. Okay. Colleges in New England, but that's not a normal thing for me to do. That was a Mark DeRose thing. He drugged me along to open a bunch of shows for him. When I'm doing my regular solo thing, I think the furthest I get away is Syracuse.
That's pretty far.
And I had lived there for a while, which is why I still travel up there.
Do you go south?
I do. Maryland, Northern Virginia.
Okay.
So I would call myself the Mid-Atlantic region, but mostly PA.
And you're based in Harrisburg.
Yeah, I'm in New Cumberland across the river. Right. Yeah.
What's it like today for, you know, a working independent musician in the sort of landscape of this changing music business?
I think it's better now for a guy like me than it was when I started out. There was still a lot of, you know, it was the whole major label thing, and everyone's goal as a singer-songwriter was to get signed to a big indie or a major label.
Right.
But you don't even think about that now. And partly for me, because I'm older and I'm past the point where I even would want a $1 million contract and that kind
all
of
that
lifestyle.
Goes with it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just, part of it too is it's much more viable, and we were talking about the internet earlier, it's much more viable to be an independent artist and make a living at it.
Do you see the scene turnover? Like you mentioned, you're older, and you've obviously been around this area. I mean, are you competing now with kids?
Oh yeah, kids half my age, which I think is great.
Yeah.
I there's two types of musicians, and I have this discussion all the time with other guys, other musicians, and there's, I'm not going to use the Kellefer words that I usually use, adjectives. There's the jealous musician who just is completely competitive,
yeah,
and just you can't stand him because he just wants to stab you in the back, and he doesn't get the other type of artist, which is someone who's on a lifelong journey and loves to share that with other people. And that's when I think of musicians like that, I think of the Steve Courtneys, mm-hmm, and the Mark DeRoses, and I try to emulate that. Is I love to see the young guys and help them out.
Sure.
And offer them encouragement. I think that's just part of the process.
Well, speaking of Mark DeRose, another Central Pennsylvania singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your 4th album was released last year,
yep,
and it's a live album.
Mm-hmm.
Live at the Capitol Theater from April of 2009. Yes. Mark DeRose had something to do with that.
That was Mark's evening. He was having a benefit that evening and needed an opener. And I was at a point where my son was a year old when I got the call from Mark. And I was just kind of like, let's just say I didn't have the fire underneath me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I had turned 41 and had a son and actually cut back my playing schedule to be at home with him. I wasn't writing much. I had a batch of songs that I wanted to record, but I just didn't have the money or the time or the, like, just no passion for it. I was burnt out.
Yeah.
And Mark called me with this opportunity and not only put me in a great room in front of, you know, 500-600 people for basically the gig of my life, to be on that stage and to perform like that. He hooked me up with the people who filmed the event, mm-hmm. and basically, and recorded it, and basically had them, you know, basically said to them, you know, I'm paying you to be there to record the show and film it already, so why don't you just take care of Ryan under that blanket of money?
Yeah.
And they did, because they were friends of his.
Yeah, that's excellent.
And basically, he basically financed the whole evening for me. And so
the production of the record.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's been, that was 18 months ago, and that's been, things have changed a lot since then, as far as the, you know, having the fire under my butt.
What was it like doing a live album? I mean, you had done 3 studio albums before that. What's the difference? What goes into that?
A lot less work. First of all, I wasn't a full band thing, so I didn't have to worry about what the drummer or the bass player was going to play.
Sure.
You know, there was a lot less instrumentation. The guy that played with me, Dave Sansusi from York, is a studio master. He's actually an engineer and a producer. And he had been playing gigs with me, so he knew the songs really well. And we only had 7 songs we needed to play. We got together a couple times and did a little bit of pre-production, if you will, for the show. And then we just went and did it. It really was totally opposite scenario of what I am going through right now for a studio project, where
yeah.
I'm going through players who aren't working out and really diving into arrangements and worried about instrumentation. Not worried, but working on what instrumentation I need, and just there's a lot more to think about with a studio record, because there's a lot more opportunity to, you know, you had the opportunity to not like something and take it away and put something else there, whereas live, you know,
it is what it is.
Yeah. Hope you like that take, because that was the take.
how have your fans reacted to it?
Very favorably, because the 3 previous studio records, people would always say to me, I love this record, but it doesn't sound like you at all when you play by yourself live. Because, you know, I'd always take a ton of musicians in and lay down a whole bunch of stuff. And, I mean, I like being in the studio with a lot of musicians, but I think for the people who come out to see me live all the time, it's a much truer representation of what they like.
Sure.
So, yeah, but it's been a very positive response.
Do you find that you do well selling records live versus online?
Or absolutely. Yeah. Maybe like 20 to 1.
Wow.
Easily, yeah. It's just a lot easier live, I think.
And people are in the moment.
Yeah, they're in the moment, absolutely. With CD Baby now, you can see who's buying the CDs. And it's never people who see my shows. You know, I sell records in Europe and Japan. You know, these people aren't coming to my shows. They just find me on the internet.
Right.
So it's
you
it's,
sound like, or they
yeah,
stumble upon you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the people who are buying on the internet, who I'm trying to learn to market to more on the internet, don't even know about the live show unless they see a video of it on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
So
I love my world, you know I can't complain.
Let's talk about some songs.
Okay.
Yes. Pick one.
Storm Runner is probably the one on the live album that stands out as the most personal for me. It's I had a friend, Glenn Therwechter, that passed away just over 2 years ago from diabetes.
Hmm.
It was a really sad situation. He had just turned 30. He had an 8-year-long battle with diabetes, and he never learned to manage it. There's no reason for him, in my opinion, to be dead at this point. It was just a really sad thing to watch him just slowly fade away. I mean, literally, you know, from being a college senior,
So 22 years old.
Yeah, 22 years old is when he first realized he had diabetes. He went into sugar shock one night driving home from a job, hit a tree, almost lost his leg. And they were like, yeah, you have diabetes. You didn't fall asleep. You actually went into insulin shock. And he was like an athlete. He was in ROTC.
Oh, okay.
He was just this big, buff guy that, you know, everyone in probably 200 pounds, 6'2".
Right.
And when he passed away, he probably like weighed close to 100 pounds.
Okay.
He had just wasted away from
diabetes. Yeah, that's bad.
So we had a love of music. He was a bartender in college at a bar I played at.
Okay.
In State College, and we realized that we were from the same hometown, and we just kept in touch over the years. And we were both Edwin McCain fans, and we went to a couple Edwin shows. And then after he got really sick, he actually rented an apartment for me, and I lived upstairs, and he lived downstairs, and I kind of ended up trying to help take care of him.
So Storm Runners is about him.
Yeah, the word Storm Runner comes from one of the last discussions that we had was probably about 3 months before he had passed away. He had moved to back home with his parents because he just couldn't take care of himself anymore. And he said to me, you know, I kind of feel like the last 8 years I look over my shoulder and I see a storm coming. And I try to run for so long from the storm, but it just keeps getting closer and closer. And, you know, I'm tired of running.
Yeah.
He knew he was not mm-hmm. going to live much longer at that point. And I filed that conversation away and had completely forgotten about it. And then about a year and a half after he had passed, I just remembered that conversation and wrote that song.
There's a sadness around here I can't seem to let go. It's like a bittersweet song from a traveling show. 'Cause my lifelong friend, he has something going wrong. So I stay to the end to sing that same sad song. Oh, brother, don't run from the storm. Just dance in the rain. Runner, don't let the clouds chase you away. There'll be no more running, 'cause you'll never find a better day. Just let the rain fall down and be free.
Another one off the live record is Deeper. And that song is about, I get seasonal affectiveness disorder in the wintertime because the sunshine, I'm an outdoor person. I love to exercise outside and just be in the sunshine. And that just in central PA, it's not like that a lot for several months. And
yeah.
I get depressed. I'm definitely somebody that is affected by that. And that song is just, I was probably in my mid-30s when I realized that that was what was going on with my winters. And I just always hit a lull mid-winter for like 8 weeks till spring where I wasn't productive. I just wanted to sleep. I was always just in a bad mood. And that song is just about, you know, realizing that and then just digging a little deeper and taking that knowledge and trying to work with it and trying to get out of that funk that I find myself in February and March.
Your misery would love some company. You'd rather be locked up at home. A funk in your head keeps you in bed. Don't you think it's time to look inside? You don't have to go real far to find your inspiration. Doesn't have to be so hard. You've got an open invitation to dig a little deeper, deep down in your soul. Dig a little deeper, it's the only way to go. Oh, oh. Go, go, let's go. Searching for something that you can't find, something you think you left behind. And you start thinking you've been denied. Don't you think it's time to look inside? You don't have to go real far to find your inspiration. It doesn't have to be so hard. You've got an open invitation to dig a little deeper, deep down in your soul.
My guest is Central Pennsylvania singer-songwriter Ryan McCormick. What was the process like deciding what songs to use? You played 7 songs in the show, but there's only 5 songs on the CD. Was it performance, or was it just that the song didn't translate what you wanted it to on a recording?
We originally had 10 songs that we were working with. Then we were told we had 30 minutes on stage, so we whittled it down to 28 minutes worth of song. Mm. So that's how we ended up with that 7 that we actually performed. One we dropped because of performance. Soul Dust was the first song we played that evening. And I think nerves were probably getting the best of us. And so we just decided to drop that because it wasn't really anything we could fix after the fact.
Right.
And then the other song that we decided to drop was Ice Cream Man. And it was a great performance. The crowd was, it was one of those songs where the crowd was clapping along to the song. It sounded great. I just decided I was going to put all originals on this one, so I didn't include that one.
Have you done covers on the previous records?
I have. On my first record, I covered Dwight Yoakam's "Fast as You." On the second record, I covered America's "Sister Golden Hair." And I guess that's it. Yeah, there wasn't anything on Soul Dust that I covered. That was our originals as well.
So then you're also license free on this.
Yes.
It's a really cheap, really inexpensive.
Yes.
Cost effective.
Cost effective.
It's very cost effective.
Cost effective.
Let's talk about 5104.
Okay.
From the album.
Yeah.
From the live album.
That was the date I had married my ex-wife, Jen. And we're still friends. I actually wrote that song right after we got married. And there's a studio version of that song on the Soul Dust record. It's one of my favorite originals to play. And I really just... I kind of wanted to do that again that evening because we were divorced at that point. But she still likes to hear the song. I gave her a copy of the CD and she was happy that it was on there. We still talk.
That's good.
So,
my heart is to capture all the blame. My heart never really had any shame. Your love made me want to make this change. Your love put an end to the silly games. There's nothing I can do. I only want to be with you. I'm gonna love my baby. I'm gonna love my baby. I'm gonna love my baby. I'm gonna love my baby.
How has fatherhood been for you?
Good. Good.
Do you have a little guitar player that you raised?
I don't know. His name is Tabyn, T-A-B-Y-N, which is an old Gaelic name for the drummer.
Oh.
Which is not what I hope happens. But
would be a great compliment to your show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just
absolutely.
Have a period of time you got to get through.
Yeah, a period of time that you have to get through at home. I don't know if I would be able to put up with that. I don't know. I go through periods where I'm like, yeah, I hope he turns into a little musician. And then I go through periods where you worry if that's actually what is going to happen. So yeah, we'll see.
How has it affected your career? I mean,
the first 18 months, his first 18 months, I cut my schedule back. I went from playing five nights a week to just Saturdays and Sundays, and I stayed at home with him through the week. Which I think was a good thing, because I had mentioned before that I was burnt out at that point anyway. So it was a good time for me to cut my schedule back. That and the economy kind of tanked, and a lot of venues were dropping music. So if you're going to pick a time to cut your career back for a while, it was a good time, because I was already planning to not have as much money coming in. So it worked out well for me in that respect. It gave me more time to do business stuff, which and artistic stuff at home. So that was good. If I had any complaints about fatherhood, it's certainly not a complaint, but I'm glad I waited till I was 41 to have a child, because I'm a pretty immature adult. You know, I'm a full-time musician. I'm definitely mature enough to handle it now. If there is a complaint, though, I wish I still had my 21-year-old energy.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the, you know, at 43, I don't have the energy that I had.
You have something very interesting on your website, rather than a standard bio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to the website and you look for a bio when you want to find out sort of an overview of what this person's like. Instead, there's a page on your website about what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that and where that came from, that idea?
Well, I have a standard bio that I redo every other year and put in my press kit. And I'm actually redoing the website now, and I'll probably put it back out there. But the I believe thing was just a kind of, I wanted to get away from the standard. Yeah, Ryan McCormick's, you know, 40-some years old. He grew up in the mountains of Pennsylvania, and he plays five nights a week, buys new CD, da-da-da-da-da. And
right.
I kind of thought about, I don't know where the original idea came from, other than I remember sitting around brainstorming about, well, how can I present who I am to people in a short format that they don't feel like they're reading a standard bio, and will maybe not only give them a really quick an idea of who I am, but will maybe make them think about who they are too, because that's kind of how I present it is.
Yeah.
Here's a bunch of stuff I believe and don't believe in, and then at the very end it says, what do you believe? And I've had some good reaction to that over the years. You know, people have actually made a list of what they believe and emailed it to me.
Oh, that's great.
So,
yeah.
Anything that makes other people think, I think, is a good thing. So.
Yeah, those trains are full of people going places that don't want to be. Should I be? Will I train? Will I train? Leaves the station. Can I stop it on a dime? Let that train make its destination. 'Cause you are running out of time. It cannot stop, it's on the time. Let that train make its destination. Can I stop it on a dime? let that train make its destination. Cause you are running out of time. Let that train rob you blind. This is Seth Ryan.
Let's talk about a couple of discs that you would take with you if you were stuck on that fabled desert island.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't think so much about discs as I did artists. So I hope that, that's okay.
Hey, you know, it's your desert island.
Okay. There's a guy that you may or may not be familiar with named Martin Sexton. He's phenomenal. He really is. He's from Syracuse. I discovered him when I lived up in that region. And he was signed to a major label in the 90s, lost that deal, and just started doing the independent thing. His vocal range is like he'll cover a Johnny Cash song and then go into these amazing falsettos. I mean, he just has an amazing voice. Mm-hmm. And what he does instrument-wise, too, what he can do with an acoustic guitar and the sounds that he gets out of it is just, it's amazing. And I wouldn't say overly technical, it's just the passion with which he uses his voice and plays his guitar. And he's hard to fit into a genre box as well, which I think is great. I mean, everything from jazz and old blues and soul to like straight up pop.
Yeah.
And some instrumental stuff that's like, you know, Eric Johnson almost type of stuff.
Right.
Really just a very dynamic show that he puts on.
Who else then?
I'm a big Rhett Miller fan from the old 97s. I don't know if you're familiar with his work or not.
I know the band.
Yeah. I really like what he does with words. He paints a really good picture for me. When I listen to his lyrics, it's always very vivid to me, and that's something I think I could probably work on a little bit more. And he's just a big inspiration for me in that way.
Is there anyone else that's going to be on this plane that's going to wreck with you? Because since you're not taking records,
right,
you're actually taking the people with you,
right? Yeah.
So who's?
I think Chris Isaak is flying the plane.
He's actually the reason we went down.
Yeah. I'm also a huge Chris Isaak fan, and somebody turned me on to his television show that he had on Showtime a while back.
Right, yeah.
And I fell in love with that, and then kind of fell in love with his music.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I kind of did it in reverse.
Because it was a little later for him, right?
That
came out long after he was already kind of a
absolutely.
Big star. Thanks so much for joining me here. This has been great to catch up with you.
Absolutely, anytime.
And, I really appreciate you coming in and talking, and hopefully when the next record comes out, you'll come back.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
You bet. Ryan McCormick is a singer-songwriter from Central Pennsylvania. Ryan's Live at the Capitol Theater and Soldust albums are available on iTunes and Amazon MP3. You can check out his show schedule and learn more about what he believes at his website, ryanmccormick.com. Learn more about this show and our Woodstove House concert series or send me email at woodstovehouse.com.
Around the Woodstove is a production of the Woodstove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
Sorry about that. My phone is buzzing. We'll throw that on the floor.